Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is the Paranormal Hour. Tonight we have Dark Specter Paranormal Research from Shelbyville, Tennessee. They are here to discuss a recent investigation they did in a haunted hospital. We have Adam and Sandra and Nathan. Hi guys, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
How are you?
Hey there.
I almost put Adam and Sandra together and made you an Anna. Sorry about that. Well, let's get right into the show, because I know you have a lot of information to give us. This hospital is located, did you say, just south of Chattanooga?
North of Chattanooga. And, yeah, it's right at the bottom of Mont Eagle Mountain, pretty much.
And the last time you were here, we had you just before you did the investigation.
Correct.
And you were already having all kinds of events happening. So, and that in itself was exciting. So let's start out from, just start at the beginning. Tell us how it went.
Wow.
Go ahead, Sandra. Or Nathan. You actually you had the stuff happen to you first.
Me?
Yeah, the shower, remember?
Oh, yeah, 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 that was correct. You guys were going to Walmart, and I was in the shower, and while I was in the shower, it sounded like somebody had come up and started beating on the door, and of course, I thought it was probably one of y'all playing a trick on me, and, I said, all right, now, y'all got to stop. This is y'all, this is nothing, I'm pretty sure this is you guys, and I went ahead and put on my clothes and everything, and I stepped outside to look for you guys, and I think that one of the other people, or maybe Stacy or somebody, had told me that y'all had been gone to Walmart for quite some time, so, and not to mention the room was locked, so that was a coincidence. And then later on that night, earlier, Callie and them had the shower to cut on them, and I remember the next day it happened to me. So, yeah, that night, it started out pretty wild.
Now, Adam was telling me earlier, you can stay the night at this hospital. They have beds set up, running water, electricity, even a place for you to cook meals if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to let the listeners know. So it's sort of like a not great hotel, I'm assuming?
Right.
Oh, I say not great because, it's an old rundown hospital, so I'm sure it's not.
Well, it's not too rundown. I mean, the walls are still standing. Most of the windows are still intact. And, some of the rooms have air conditioning. Some of the rooms have heat. So, it's pretty much, a nice hotel if you get into, staying at haunted locations all the time.
Okay. So what happened next?
What was that?
What happened
next? Oh, I was going to say. Go ahead, Adam.
That Friday night was just, everything back to back. I mean, hearing whispering in our ears, seeing shadows out the corner of our eyes. The place is like this all the time. It's not just, one or two nights a year. It's like this all the time. I don't know how many investigators have seen and heard the same things we've seen and heard.
Oh, wow. Well, what kind of equipment did you have with you that night?
Four camera, DVR system, K2 meters, millimeter, static detectors. let's see, what else do we have, Nathan?
Oh, man. Echo box. Of course, you know, we got our recorders and stuff like that.
Cameras, flashlight.
Cameras, flashlight, laser grids.
Did you get any good evidence?
Oh, we did.
I wouldn't. Yeah, we did. We got some pretty good EVPs that
night. That night we did. Now, the night after that was kind of dead, but that night was very, very active.
Yeah, Friday night was active. Saturday night wasn't too active at all.
No.
I think it was because of the people that were there.
That can be a deterrent sometimes, can it?
Yeah, because you know, we had a real bad skeptic there, and he was just like playing pranks on people part of the night, and it just, you know, wasn't a good atmosphere that night. Because I mean, when you book an investigation, you book your team, and it's just your team there. Well, the two nights we were there, it was a public event type deal.
Oh, okay.
Where it was a Valentine's event where it was $99 a couple, and they had, like, what was it, 12 couples there? 10?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Or Nathan. So,
go ahead.
You know, it just depends on the mood of the people sometimes, I believe. You know, if you got a lot of people who believe it's going to happen, and, you know, you get people there who are just making fun of it, you know, they're going to try to stay away and not communicate at all.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think that does play into how much activity there is. Not that I'm, you know, the world's greatest expert on it, but from what I've heard from all of you experts, Now, somebody got choked that night. Did I see that somebody was choked?
Yeah, it was Sandra.
Well, Sandra, step up to the mic and tell us about that.
Oh, gosh, that was a crazy experience. We were standing around in the pharmacy, and all of a sudden, I got where I started coughing. I couldn't catch my breath, and it was almost like someone was shoving something down my throat.
Oh, wow. That had to be terrifying.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, it made me throw up. I left out of there and threw up a little bit because of it. It was almost
Did you know? Go ahead.
It was almost a comparison of having a breathing tube shoved down my throat.
Did you know immediately that it was something supernatural? I mean, when it started, or
no.
Did you think, oh, my gosh, I'm going into anaphylactic shock or something?
I didn't know what was going on. It just caught me off guard. And, of course, we called an EVP, but we just can't make it out because there was so much going on at the time. But one of our team members asked me if I was okay, and immediately you hear something talk, but we can't make out what it says.
Are there any rumors about medical staff or nurses or anything dying there?
Oh, yeah.
That you know of?
I believe there's one story of Nurse Betty. She was a smoker for years, and I think she died down in the geriatrics ward. But the full story, I don't know.
Now, didn't the janitor die there or somebody like that?
I believe so. I mean, there's so many stories that we've heard, you know, over the years, you know, between janitors, maintenance, nurses, doctors. I mean, it's kind of hard to get them all straight and what's actually truth and what's not true.
That's true. That's very true.
Wow. Is there a lot of information? Go ahead.
Okay. I got some. I found my documentation here, and Sandra was talking about getting choked in that, you know, in the one room. And on the documentation I've got wrote down here, we were also running an EchoVox session. And we got in the session, somebody was called a bubblehead. Then they were told to beat it twice. And then in not a very nice way, they said, get lost.
And, This was all during her the choking or
yes.
in that time period.
In that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. But these were EVPs, right? Nobody heard them audibly?
Oh, we heard them audibly.
This was on the Echo Box, yeah.
Oh, the Echo. Explain what that is, please, the Echo Box.
It's a cell phone app that is supposed to be easily manipulated by the spirits. And it's supposed to be the spirits talking to you. Whether it's, you know, actually the spirits talking to you or radio coming through, we're not real sure, but it's really, really accurate. We've got
a lot of stuff that's
come through. Our names have come through several times. All the investigator names have come through. Names that we know of at locations, their name come through a lot. And you can actually hear the different tones and voices. Where, like, they're actually talking to you. It's really creepy. If you ever have a chance to check it out, you need to.
This was a funny incident that we had with an EchoVox. We were running at a location here in Shelbyville called Wolf Meadows, and I just randomly asked the question. I said, have you ever heard of Darth Vader? And through the EchoVox, something come across and said Anakin, as in Anakin Skywalker. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
It is.
It's freaky, I think, when they say your names. When they say your name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The responses on the EchoVox system, they've usually got 0.5 to 1.5 seconds to get a good response normally. But we've actually had responses that have been maybe 2 seconds or maybe a little, just a smidge longer than that.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty neat
app.
It's definitely something to check into.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be checking into it. Nobody will ever hear from me again because I'll be playing with that all the time. That's why I have not gone out and bought a ghost box. I want one, and when we start doing our investigations, the Paranormal Hour team this summer will be doing investigations. I will get one for them, but I'm waiting until last minute because I know I'm going to get sucked in. Anytime I've used one that was somebody else's, just hours, I become a fanatic about it. So, okay, so Sandra got choked. All that was going on. And then what happened? What else happened?
I think. Oh, shoot. I can't remember. So much happened.
I went with Sandra to the room at that point because she was on the verge of practically dry heaving and throwing up. She got it pretty bad that night.
How long did that affect you, Sandra?
I coughed probably about 15 minutes. The worst part probably lasted about 5 minutes, and I was quickly trying to get out of the room in the hallway. It's just like something felt like it was going with me.
Oh, wow. So it just followed you right back to your room.
That's what it felt like.
So then,
yeah, when you walk in there.
Go ahead.
When you walk in the place, you can feel them just watching you. I mean, they know you're there. They know what you're doing there. They're not, you know, they're not stupid by any means. The spirits there are actually very intelligent and know exactly what's going on.
I believe
there's some reason. There's some residual, but not a lot. Most of it is intelligent, and they'll let you know right away. You know, they'll move stuff around or on third floor especially, let you know, hey, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually move objects.
You hear, like, if you're on second floor in, like, the break room, you can hear from third floor up, and you can hear heavy furniture being moved around, and there's no heavy furniture up there. There's a few light chairs, but nothing heavy. We've actually heard the elevator ding like it's coming to floor, and there's no power to the elevator at all.
Oh, wow.
The power of the elevator. Yeah, power's been cut.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That thing, mm-hmm. That thing will ding constantly sometimes.
But the power is completely cut off to that.
Completely cut
yes.
off.
Wow, that's crazy. And awesome at the same time.
It's really a place to check out. If you've never been someplace like that, that's actually one place you need to go. We've been, how many times have you guys been, Sandra?
Three.
I think me and my wife have been about 7 or 8 times total.
So it's a place where you can continuously find evidence.
Oh, yeah. And never really the same type of evidence either. It's always different.
That place is loaded. It is loaded. It is loaded with spirits.
Has anybody ever said, have they had like a medium come in or anybody like that to say how many spirits they think inhabit the area, or do you know?
Nobody. They've had a medium come in, but the medium could not give them an exact answer because of how many is actually there. They couldn't get an accurate, well, I mean, how accurate can it be, but they can't even
right.
give them really an idea of, you know, how many's there. It's just that many spirits are there that it's hard to keep track of. Because I've never gotten the same EV. I've never gotten an EVP from the same person every time I've gone. It's always been something different.
Wow. Listen, if you're listening right now and you have a question for the Dark Specter mm-hmm. Research Paranormal Research, sorry, I said that backwards. Our chat room is not open tonight, but you can call in at 714-242-5259. And we will be happy to try to answer your questions to the best of our ability. Let's move on into the night a little further. Somebody had said something, or maybe I saw it on your page. By the way, if you're listening, go check out Dark Specter on Facebook. They hands down have one of the neatest pages I have ever been on, with just loads of incredibly interesting stuff that they've found and information. And you can find them under Dark Specter Paranormal Research. It's their fan page. I saw on your fan page, where was that? Maybe it was this video. I'm looking at it now, sorry. I'm lost
which,
now. Every time
video?
I get on your page, I'm
which video? There's several videos. Which one?
The one posted January 15th at the Oldham Theater. Is it Oldham?
Oldham
yeah,
Theater.
Oldham. Yeah.
Yeah, the shadow across the screen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What
yeah.
was up with that?
We were investigating, and me and two of the investigators were getting ready to go to the store, and we were walking down the aisle going to the exit door in the back. And I happened to see a shadow go across the screen. I'm like, wait a minute. So I tried, what was it, 30 minutes, Nathan, trying to recreate it and couldn't do it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was crazy because I tried everything. I mean, I put people back exactly where we were at, the movements we were doing, and could not get the same thing over. So I went and immediately checked the cameras, and it was on the camera. So I'm like, okay. We're
yeah,
going to
it's
have to
right
find something
there,
out.
Plain as day.
Now,
yeah,
I've
I don't
got,
know.
I've got documented on there that Callie was on the stage reading about the history of the theater, and her and Sandra have got some real strong K2 spikes on that too. And that was
right
that
at
was
the same time.
About the same time period. Yeah.
Wow. That is so cool. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, because for some reason, every time we get evidence, there's always K2 spikes. I can't figure that one out. The K2 would be quiet for hours, and all of a sudden, you get a spike, and there'll be activity right with it. So, you know, is the K2 detecting paranormal? I can't say
mm-hmm.
for sure, but I mean, it's a really good strong indicator something's going on.
No, Sandra.
Right.
Sandra had got with the dowsing rods that night. Whatever spirit was seemed to have took an interest in following Callie around that night.
I do remember that.
Now, she was, of course, you know, she was the one reading the history of the theater and stuff. And
right, when that shadow went across the screen.
Uh-huh.
Mm,
yeah,
I
that
don't
shadow,
know.
I mean, it looked like somebody was actually behind the screen, but there's nobody back there. You know, I can positively say there was nobody back there at all.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
The way the speakers are set up behind the screen, we would have seen or we would have heard somebody climbing up on the speakers, and there's no way. You know, the subs on each side of that screen are like 5 foot tall.
Is that building still in use, or is it abandoned?
Still in use. Twin Theater.
Have you talked to any of the people who work there?
Oh, yeah. The owner's actually the one that called me called us in to investigate.
Oh,
we've investigated.
Okay.
We've investigated all three of his theaters.
Are all three of them haunted?
No. I would say the Oldham Theater in Winchester, yes. Capri Theater, possibly
maybe. Not really.
Montana
sure.
The Montana Drive-In. No, Montana Drive-In.
No, not at all.
There.
Mm-mm.
So is that how you get most of your hunts? Is people call you and say, "Hey, will you come investigate this for me?"
Yeah, I mean we don't do a whole lot of private investigations, you know, yearly. I would say we do about what 5 or 6 a year. But usually, when we get like the Oldham Theater, the owner of that, you know, he has us come in a couple times a year at least. And then,
oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's great to have people, you know, call us, say, come and investigate. Or, you know, we've seen some of your stuff, come and investigate, see what we got, you know, see if there's anything here. I mean, it's great when that happens.
But it's generally businesses and not, like, private homes.
More private homes than anything. We probably do about three or four a year.
Well, how does that work when you do a private home? What's involved in that?
There's more research than anything because of, you know, the locations are different. The type of activity is always different. You got to do your research and your homework on, you know, what's going on. You know, get witness accounts if you can, courtroom documents, you know, land purchases, stuff like that. It's a lot of research work.
And you do that ahead of time before you go do the actual investigation?
Sometimes it coincides. It goes hand in hand. Sometimes we'll do the investigation and we'll do research and do some investigating and research some more until we get all the evidence we need or all the information that we think we're going to need to, you know, go, hey, you know, this is what we think is going on. We try not to scare the clients with, you know, straight up just, hey, here's what we got. This is what's going on. I like to have all the facts before I go in and say, hey, look, this is what's going on. You know, I don't want to go in and scare them with these people and have them leaving their homes because something, you know, might be there.
And how generally, if there can be a general reaction in a situation like that, how do people take it when you have to tell them, dude, your house is haunted?
A lot of the times I feel they take it, you know, with a sigh of relief because they've been living with it for a while, and they realize it's not going to hurt them. And if we can just validate, you know, that whatever's there is not going to hurt them, they can be, you know, pretty much pleased with that. Because I've been doing this 5 years, and I've never ran across a demon. I've ran across some, you know, angry ones, but never a demon. And I try to stay away from that. You know, if somebody says, hey, I got a demon, you know, I'm not going to take that because I don't feel comfortable doing something like that yet.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole different can of worms there.
Yeah, it's risky business.
And I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, you know,
I will be the first one
to
jump on the train to go investigate a ghost if they start talking about that, and I'm like, nah, I'll pass.
There was one home investigation we were on where I don't know if it was something choking me or what had happened, but it seemed to like the women there, but it didn't like the guys because it was me and Jason and Callie and maybe Anna or something like that. And anyway, during the investigation, I can't remember if it was a spirit box session or I think it may have been a spirit box session and an EVP session or something like that we were doing. Jason had he went down with his back, and it felt like somebody had put an oil funnel down my mouth and started pouring sand down my throat. And that was the only time that I had ever really got, you know,
attacked.
Attacked by anything.
But, wait, where was this at?
It was in Gallatin.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a,
go ahead,
that was a private home.
Yeah, if I had any, if I could describe it to the best of my knowledge, that would be what it was like. Like somebody had just put a funnel down my throat and just started pouring a bag of sand down it.
And had the people living there, had they had any experiences similar to yours? Or was that
not that we're aware of.
Not that I can think of. No, the people hadn't. But I think we pretty much figured out what kind of haunting or who it was that was in the place.
Okay.
And needless to say, they were relieved. Well, some of them were relieved. Some were crying. And it turns out that the information that we had gotten from the place was very, very on cue. It was accurate. And it made me happy to know that.
Now, I know we talked about this the last time, but just in case the people listening weren't listening to that show, Sandra, I want you to tell them about your boyfriend. I find that incredibly fascinating, so I'd like you to tell that story.
Oh, goodness, and our relationship has escalated in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, really? Oh, well, then definitely tell us about it.
Well, the funeral home that he resides at is now going under a lot of changes. They're actually going to make it a haunted house and at Halloween, a real haunted house. So we were talking one night about, you know, I hadn't been there in a while. And so I was like, hey, if you come over here, because we weren't doing any activity at all. I sat with K2 down beside me and said, if you'll come sit right here and make this light change colors, I'll tell you what I've been doing for the past couple of months. So next thing you know, we start getting K2's bikes immediately. I'm like, okay, so I go through my little spiel, you know, how I deal with funeral directors all the time, you know, how they're great. Then I'm like, well, then I have one who's kind of ugly to me. The whole mood in that area just changed. It got real heavy, kind of started feeling a little nauseated, and I got scratched on my stomach. So clearly we won't talk about anybody being ugly to me anymore.
Wow. And this was just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been probably right out of months, maybe a little less.
So do you think he was just showing you that he was unhappy that somebody was being mean to you, or... did it make him?
I honestly believe so.
Wow. And Nathan, are you Sandra's husband?
Yes,
or
ma'am.
Or Adam?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Is there any concern there? I mean, obviously, he's not going to run off and have an affair with a ghost, but I mean, do you worry that maybe this spirit might follow her home or get too clingy?
I've thought about it, and, I feel pretty comfortable with it, if you know what I mean. I think he knows his place. He kind of knows his role.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it has crossed my mind on, you know, could it ever happen? And, you know, I really don't know. I mean, and honestly, we kind of discussed this a couple of days ago about, you know, when we leave an investigation, asking the spirits to stay. And that's another story. But as far as many times as we've been there, he's always been there, and he seems to like his residence. To be honest with you, but yes, the thought has crossed my mind, and like I said, we've discussed it that we should really be, you know, telling the spirits there that they need to stay because
Sandra's definitely.
More, Sandra, Sandra's more sensitive to spirits than I am. And I once told her that she was a taxi cab for spirits. So, you know, I can think of an incident or so where we think that we may have had something to follow us at the house, which had the house blessed and didn't have no more trouble whatsoever. And I hate to lead into something else here, but we're kind of having some things go on right now.
Oh, good. Tell
and,
us about it. Well, not good, but tell us about it.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. That was just so rude. Not good.
No,
if it's
fine.
A bad thing,
so,
I'm sorry, but that's what we want to hear.
No, you're fine. We have an ordained priest we've consulted with about coming in. And he has agreed to come in, and he doesn't want any information regarding the, you know, what's going on or anything like that, but he's going to come check it out for us. And the reason we kind of reached out to him, of course, he's a friend and everything, and this is not the first time that this has happened at our place, but the second time. And we just want to, we'd like somebody of his caliber to come in and check it out.
Do house cleansings? I mean, like, for your own houses, do you, you know, walk through with sage and just do a metaphysical cleansing?
No, I've never done it here at my house. I mean, our house has got a little bit of a haunting too, but they don't bother us, we don't bother them. And I mean, we give clients information on how to go about doing it, but we don't do it. For the simple fact, we don't want to make anything mad.
Right. That's understandable.
So, you know, I'll give them the information if they really want it. I have the information. I can just, you know, hand it over to them. You know, if they're comfortable doing it, you know, fine. If not, you know, call somebody in who is comfortable doing it. I'm not comfortable doing it in somebody else's home. I'm not really comfortable doing it in my home, but I will if I have to.
We basically stick it out as investigators and research and kind of leave it at that. And if there needs to be something else that needs to be done, we've got plenty of contact information for, you know, other people and stuff like that that can might help them otherwise.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And if you're not comfortable doing it, you shouldn't be, for sure, because that can
exactly.
cause more problems than good if you're uncomfortable and maybe a little unsure. Do you think, do most people take your advice? I mean, have you ever had to tell somebody, look, you should get out of this house?
What, they should get out of the house?
Out of their house. Like, if you've done an investigation and you find it's haunted and maybe it's a little too much for them, have you ever had to tell someone, I would move if I were you?
No. I've never ran into that situation yet.
Do they generally, if you give them information on, you know, people to contact to help them get rid of it, do they act on that? Do you know?
I have yet to have anybody ask me for the information, you know, for another group.
Oh,
I've had
wow,
people
really?
Contact me. Yeah, I've had people contact me and say, hey, can you come and do this? And, you know, I try to find groups that are closer to them. If we're too far from the range, you know, from their house, I don't want to, you know, travel 5 hours, you know, for a couple of hours investigation where I can find
right.
someone closer that will do, you know, as much as we will, if not more.
Have you found on occasion that you'll go do an investigation and find nothing at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've done that several times. Even at the Lynchburg home, we've gone and come back with nothing.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, we don't go, you know, we don't go to every investigation thinking something's going to happen. You know, if it happens, it's going to happen. If it's not, you know, it's not. I mean, we can't force it to happen. We can't, you know, tell the ghost, hey, come out and play and make them play. You know, it don't work that way.
And you guys
don't
do provoking, right? You don't provoke
no.
them?
No.
No.
No. Highly against
That's
it.
I just interrupted somebody. Who was gonna speak before I asked that question?
It was me. You guys were talking about going to places and investigations and nothing happening at all. our last couple of trips to the Lynchburg home, Sandra's boyfriend, he's kind of been throwing a temper tantrum, but of course they've been working on the house, I think that may have something to do with it. But Sandra was doing a dowsing rod session and one night, I thought it was funny because one of the questions that she asked was, is anybody here with us tonight? And, of course, the dowsing rods, the way she had, you know, the dowsing rods had opened up for no. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? Okay, well, who opened the dowsing rods up then? And I can't remember. There's a couple of things that we've got that kind of suggested that he's still going to fit for some reason. That's the feeling we get anyway. And the reason I'd say that it's probably because that they're working on the house is there's a place in Lawrenceburg that we used to go to, and the main reason that they even started getting a lot of activity was because they were working on that house too, and something had scared the carpenters out of the place. is that
oh,
correct?
Oh wow!
If I'm right on that.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
the workers just left.
No, it was the owner that got just left. He said he'd never set foot back in that house, and he hasn't.
Really? Do you know what happened? Can you tell us?
He was working upstairs, putting up some walls, or framing in some walls, and he said he fell on the ground. He looked up, and he seen, like, dust. Like somebody was walking towards him, and he said that's all he could take. He got up and left, and he goes, I'm not going back in there. I've actually got a key to that house. He said he will never step back in that house. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That kind of leads me to – go ahead.
That, you know, that house is something else, and it's going to take a lot of money, whoever buys it, to fix it back up to even be livable. You know, we're talking, you know, $250,000, $500,000 just to get it up codes.
Oh, my. Is the property even valuable enough to warrant that?
No. Well, it's a corner lot downtown, so probably good for a retail space or something. But, you know, other than that, I mean, he's not going to sell it to anybody if, you know, if he thinks they're going to tear it down, because he don't want the house being torn down at all. I mean, it was built in 1901.
Oh. I'm surprised the Historical Society wouldn't latch on to that and try to help fix it up and keep it going.
The thing with the Historical Society that he's dealt with, they'll put in every dollar that he puts in.
Oh, okay.
So if he puts in $150,000, they'll put in $150,000. And he just don't have that kind of cash to, or, you know, that kind of, He really don't want to put that much work into the house.
Right. Well, especially if he's never going in it again.
Yeah. He bought it for him and his fiance at the time, and when he found out how, you know, how haunted it was, he's like, nope, we're not moving there.
Yeah, there's loads of activity there, right?
Oh yeah, we've got a lot of stuff from there. It'd take me a little while to dig it up, but yeah, we've gotten quite a bit of stuff from there. You know, Nathan and his spirit legs that let him into another room.
that was incredible. That was absolutely incredible.
Tell us about that, Nathan.
I was coming around the corner. It was one of the first investigations that I had been on, and I can't remember what exactly happened in that room that I was shining my flashlight in, but I was in the hallway, and it out of my flashlight, something had drug its leg through the doorway like it had just walked in the room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
just
it was
that,
rather,
just
it was
legs,
rather,
nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, it appeared like, you know, like it was just something residual. But I seen it. It was wild.
Now, how do you guys, and I'd like for you to, each of you to individually answer this question, if you don't mind. When you see things like that, What is your usual reaction? I mean, I'm sure it varies depending on the situation, but do you have the urge to run out of the room screaming? Do you just stand there like, oh, well, this is no big deal? How do you react to that?
Well, if I've got somebody with me, I'm excited, but if I'm by myself, it's kind of creepy, if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense to me. What
and,
about you, Sandra?
Oh, I'm automatically looking for confirmation from somebody else that I saw what I think I saw.
If I happen to see something and somebody's with me, I'm excited and I'm going to go check it out. I want to find out if there's actually something over there or if it was just me, you know, seeing something. You know, I want confirmation that, you know, what I've seen is there. But I also
mm-hmm.
want to see if it stayed around in the area or if it just, you know, vanished like they do a lot of the times. I mean, I'm sure you've been on an investigation where you see something and you go to check it out and it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, well before you get to wherever it was, it's
yeah
completely evaporated. I've had that happen in my own house.
Yeah, I've had that happen here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, because, yeah, you did say that you have some sort of something going on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So have you done research on your own homes?
No. I've investigated my own home, but I have not done any research on it. I
Do
figure
you just not
this house
know,
probably,
or?
I'd like to know, but the house is so new, it would have to be researching the land, and
yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start researching the actual land of the where the house is built at. Because, I mean, it's not just my house. It's several houses. You know, neighbors have told me they've got the same type of activity in their home, so I'm sure it's roaming the neighborhood.
So it's definitely something that's attached to the land itself.
Yes.
If it's going through multiple residents.
Yeah, we've got 25 homes in this neighborhood, and I know five of them say they got the same type of activity I'm getting. So, yeah, whatever it is, it's moving around the neighborhood, and people know it's there.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, just know that they come in your house whenever they want, and you'll never know it.
Right. Well, and not knowing if it's attached to the land. I mean, was there a burial ground there? Did somebody build an addition? Hello, poltergeist. Did somebody build an addition over a graveyard? I mean, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, the neighborhood
that's
I know
out
was
or anything.
Built. Yeah, the
Go
house
ahead.
Was built in 05. Or the neighborhood was built in 05. And we've been
oh,
here living
yeah,
here since
that's
08.
Super new to have
yeah.
activity in multiple structures. I'd
now,
be interested to know, but I wouldn't know where you should start looking either.
You know, going back to what you were saying about something being attached to the ground, the hospital in Old South Pittsburgh, we think that we might have something there that was actually attached to that ground before the hospital was built, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah.
On that, Adam.
Yeah, the Skinwalker or... Shaman?
Yeah.
The 7-foot shadow down in Shadow Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not at
yeah.
all spooky.
Oh, yeah.
Very
interesting. He's very territorial. He likes to scare people away from that area. So we think we know who we're dealing with. We just got to find out a name or some way to communicate with him. Very intelligent, very mobile, very fast, and will... shapeshift on command or at will.
Shapeshift yep. into what?
The last time we were there, he shapeshifted into a bird. They were, two of my investigators were following him around Shadow Hall, you know, chasing him around, trying to find him because he kept playing hide and seek with them. And they went into this
mm-hmm.
one room and all of a sudden they started hearing a bird chirp. Well, it's 2:00 in the morning. I don't know of any birds that are up at 2:00 in the morning chirping in a room.
No. And could they see it or they just heard it?
They heard it. They couldn't pinpoint it, but they heard it. They just heard the bird chirping. And I've never seen a bird in this hospital at all, ever.
I'm assuming they call it the Shadow Hall because they see lots of shadows there, right?
Yes. It's the old pharmacy, medical records, and like inpatient or outpatient surgery type deals.
Uh huh.
Where, you know, doctor's offices, basically. There's a lot of offices down there, and it stays dark constantly. There's power down there, but nobody ever turns the lights on. But yeah, you see shadows all the time down there, especially him. He's the biggest and most menacing one out there. You know, you're standing there and you see a shadow behind you, and you look at it 7 foot tall, you kind of want to run.
Yeah, you know, I was just telling somebody last night, I'm kind of hard to scare. I don't scare easy when it comes to this kind of thing because I've been around it so much. But I'm telling you, I might just pee down my leg if I turned around and saw a 7 foot shadow tearing or standing over me. That would be, wow, horrifying. It's so funny because I'm so torn with this because I really love to do ghost investigations. The last one that I did, I thought was going to be my last one, and then when I left, I was like, oh, I got to do that again. But at the same time, I guess I like being scared to death. I don't know. But
oh, yeah.
Not that way. Not with a 7 foot tall shadow. No way.
Well, see, one of the investigators, Jason, he is probably one of the most fearless ones out of the group. He will go by himself, and it don't matter. And when him and the other investigator were, you know, chasing around Shadow Hall, he actually stopped, turned, and seen it, and says, oh, there you are. And it didn't faze him. You know, I'm like, Jason, really? Come on now. But he feels he knows what he's dealing with, and he says it's not going to hurt him. You know, even though he is big and menacing, Jason said, he's not going to hurt me. He knows what he's capable of. He knows what he did during his, you know, pretty much during his life, and said he's not going to hurt him. So that's the one, when we go back, we're going to try to befriend and communicate with. That is going to be mine and Jason's goal, is to get this sucker to come out and talk to us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let us know how that went.
Oh, believe me, I'm going to be running
K2. I'm sure
that's
going to be... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be running K2s and static detectors and real-time recorder, and I'm going to have a list of Cherokee phrases to use, see if I can get him to communicate in Cherokee.
Oh, that would be awesome. And this is the spirit that you guys believe has been there since before the hospital was built, correct?
Yes.
Just to reiterate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, have you heard of, speaking of the hospital again, have you heard of anyone getting hurt there? Any kind of, I mean, what Sandra went through seems pretty extreme to me, but have you heard of other cases like that or even worse?
Actually, one of our investigators got scratched pretty bad last time we were there. We were there the 14th and 15th of February. We were just back, like, what was it, 3 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, he got scratched pretty bad on his back. The picture's actually on our Facebook page.
Oh, boy. And what was going on at the time? Do you know?
Just a really, I hate to say it this way, pissed off spirit. Sorry about the language. That's about the only way I can put it. It was really happy we were not there.
Oh, wow.
I think Sandra and Carrie had an experience in the bathroom where he got scratched at, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We were in the shower, and just the energy that was in there, it felt like every bit of energy that we had just drained completely from us.
Was this before?
Was about the time he got scratched.
Oh, was it around the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that makes me wonder if he needed your energy to make that happen. Because, you know, you hear all kinds of things. They draw energy from batteries and any kind of an electrical source, and that I've even heard conjecture that they can draw it right off of people and even make people sick because they take so much from them. So it begs the question, is that what happened? How deep were these scratches? How long?
From about shoulder down to base of his back.
Holy crap!
Yeah, if you go on our Facebook page, look at our photos, you'll see it. You'll see how long they were.
As soon as this show's over, I'm going to, because every time I get on your page, I get lost. I start looking at everything. I forget I'm supposed to be talking.
Yeah,
it's not good.
But you know, in that same time frame, Nathan had a cold spot move across his hand. The K2 started going off. The static detector next to me went off. I wasn't moving, so I know I wasn't setting the thing off. And then the scratch happened, and there was an EVP actually caught at the same time.
Now, you guys got a lot of EVPs, right, that night?
That night, I know of three during a 30-minute session. Two I can
That's
make out, one I can't. Yeah, two I can make out, one I cannot make out at all.
That's I think that's quite a bit, because I've sat all night before and not had one. So 3 in 30 minutes is good frequency.
Yeah,
Adam, do we have that picture of Callie on our page with the big gigantic force field looking snowball in front of her?
No, Carrie did not send that to me.
Oh, she didn't send it to you. Okay,
I'm gonna try to get her send it to me. I'll get her send it to me so I can post it.
Okay.
Adam and I had talked earlier in the week about the EVPs you got the Valentine's weekend at the hospital, mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out a way to put them on air so people could listen, and we didn't get that worked out. But can you tell me some of what was said, some of what you picked up?
On my recordings, I didn't get anything the 14th, unless I think Sandra and Nathan did.
I'm not
going to
lie, I haven't listened to mine.
No, I was about to say, there's a lot of files that we have to go through. I'm talking like 60 files.
Well, that was a long investigation, right? It was like 48 hours or something.
Yeah. Now, like this past time we went, the three EVPs I'm talking about that I got, two I can recognize, one I can't, was just like 3 weeks ago.
And that wasn't the one where they said something about a bubble head and these are different ones?
That was in February.
Okay,
yeah.
So what did they say that you could make out?
Just on that EchoVox session that, you know, Nathan could pinpoint.
Yeah, and just pretty
from
much.
From 3 weeks ago?
No, that was back in February.
Back in February.
Oh, okay.
We've been to the hospital a lot.
It sounds like it. I'm super
yeah,
jealous,
kinda,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, because we're going back June 5th.
I could probably rearrange my schedule if you guys want to tag along, but I'm not going in the shadow hall. I'm just telling you that right now. You can have the brave guy do it. He can come tell me what happened after.
Office Shadow Hall is where I was attacked.
Yeah,
oh, it was.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the pharmacy is actually down Shadow Hall.
Oh, wow. So there is a possibility that it is whatever that 7-foot shadow is that attacked you.
Right. And the week before, the same thing happened to another investigator that we know. But hers, it happened in the operating room.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Wow.
I'll tell you, another interesting place that we went to, it was in March, and I'm thinking it was the 14th. Is that right, Adam? Was the Thomas House?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very interesting. Very.
Yeah.
What went on there?
Crazy lady.
Oh, man. Some people, I swear.
You have to tell us now. You can't leave me hanging like that.
There was a lady.
There was,
it was like a public, you know, investigation type thing. And there was two teams there, and then just a couple people who were interested in the paranormal, you know, were there. So it was like, you know, we started the investigation, and out of nowhere, we started hearing this Indian war cry. And I'm like, what is that? And this lady downstairs just went totally off the wall, bonkers. She was talking like four different languages, chanting like an Indian, screaming, hollering, cussing.
And what? You're talking about a live person that's doing this, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. She was supposed to be a medium, and she wasn't very good at it, but yeah, she was just crazy. I've got some of it on video. I haven't posted on Facebook, but yeah.
You know, Adam was by himself, and in the midst of her doing all this crazy stuff, Adam gets an EVP that goes, "Listen." So I think the spirits probably thought she was crazy too.
It was before she went totally crazy. It was me and a couple of investigators. She wanted to sit in while we did an EVP. I'm like, fine, come on. Well, some people don't like to investigate with others, and I'm fine with that, you know. So she sat there with me and these two others, and then she started mumbling under her breath, and like, I don't know what she was, what language it was supposed to be. And I just kind of like played it off as I didn't hear her. I heard her plain as day. And we got done, and we went, and then she just went, when she found out she was getting attention from the other team that was there, she just went totally bonkers with them. And I'm like, good thing she did it there and not back to where we were at. But yeah, she was. How long did you stand by her, Nathan, with a recorder?
I stood by her for quite some time, just trying to figure it out, trying to come to the conclusion that it was nonsense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was entertaining, don't get me wrong, but the fact that she was actually tapping into something paranormal, it was nonsense, because, I mean, you could just tell. I mean, yeah. when you go from trying to do an Indian war cry that's not really an Indian war cry, then you start speaking German and then Hispanic and just garbling out language, it's just okay, I'm done with you.
Yeah, she was out there.
And not to mention being filled with alcohol you could smell all over. I mean, it's just, wow. She needs medication.
Oh, wow. And Sandra, were you there on that investigation too?
Oh, I was there.
You sound enthused with that too.
We were actually upstairs doing our own EVP session and going, we left our recorder going in our room for a while, and we went back and we were listening to it, which we even picked up with a conversation. You hear something playing with my recorder.
I've got the conversation wrote down.
All of a sudden you start hearing this Indian war cry, like, we were scared. We didn't know what to do. We froze. Like, we went and stood at the top of the steps, didn't even know if we wanted to go downstairs.
Well, because at that time you didn't know if that was a person, right? That was a live person.
Yeah, we didn't know what we had. We kind of stopped in our tracks.
Well, when she stopped, I thought it was the guy that was with her. Because I was like, dang, is that him? Like, what he's going on about? And I went down there and seen it was her. I'm like, oh, wow.
And you handled it so professionally. I don't know that I wouldn't have doubled over in a fit of giggles. I think.
Oh, I did when I walked away.
I'm a little immature.
when I walked away, the way I was laughing.
Well, I went up there and I asked her, I was like, ma'am, do you know what you're doing or saying when you're doing this? And she looks at me and just kind of mumbles and goes back into something. And I said, okay. And then she acted like she came back to reality. She goes, something or another about a silverback monkey, if that makes any sense to you. And I'm like, no, that does not make sense to me. But okay. Carry on.
A silverback monkey. Sounds like an imported beer to me, but, you know, I don't drink a lot of beer. So. No offense.
Right.
I don't drink a lot of beer, but
I think she had a few imported beers.
She had a six-pack or more silverback monkeys.
That's a code word, I think, for alcohol, maybe. I don't know. I was just talking to somebody earlier today and telling him about the show tonight, and he asked me the same question everybody asks me about the show, which is, do I believe this stuff is real? When I'm talking to people and they're telling me about what happened to them and their different paranormal experiences, and I told him, I said, you know, when I'm talking to people who I believe to be or know to be professional investigators, I have to take them at face value and I have to believe what they tell me. When I'm talking to individuals, I try to believe what they tell me, but sometimes, just like with your experience with that woman, you got to kind of go, really? Do you have that? Do you have that problem? Has anybody ever called you and, you know, made their house sound like Amityville Horror House, and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to go bother with that?
No, well, I haven't really. Go ahead, Nathan.
Go ahead, Adam. Well, okay.
No, go ahead.
You know, I take their word for what they're saying, and I'm like, okay, you know, what they're saying, you know, could be true, could be not, you know, could not be true. I'm like you on that. I'm kind of skeptical of what they say until I actually go in there with my team and, you know, and do a little bit of investigating and see what I can find. I mean, some people I'm very skeptical of than others, but for the most part, until I can really, you know, go in and do some investigating myself, I kind of stay rather skeptical of it, honestly, and I hate to say that, but I do.
I do to an extent. I probably believe more than I should. There are certain things I have with my own two eyes seen a knife fly across the room. I was in the seventh grade. I was not drunk or under the influence of any kind of chemical other than we ate a whole lot of pizza that night at that slumber party. and I saw it. I mean, it just went from the countertop just flat across the room into the wall. It was not my house. It was one of my best friend's house. And I had felt different things, creepy things, like somebody was watching me or like somebody was touching me there before, because I'd spent the night with her numerous times. So when people tell me that they have objects that move, I feel obligated to believe them because I've seen an object move. Mm-hmm. Now, when people start talking about their dining room table and chairs being plastered to the ceiling in their house, like paranormal activity, I have a hard time buying that bridge because I don't know of any person I've ever talked to who's seen something that extreme, ever. And I've talked to a lot of people at this point in my career. So there are some bridges I will gladly go across, and others I just can't.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess you probably worded. I mean, with that example, I mean, really, you've worded it better than probably what I could. But yeah, that's about the way I take it too.
Oh my goodness! And not to, for those of you that are listening, especially for my readers that are listening, I'm not saying I don't believe your stories. I'm just saying that if they start to resemble the movies that I've seen, that I don't consider to be very well done movies. I might have an issue. I think those movies are the worst. The Paranormal Activity movies are the worst movies in the horror category that I've seen, as far as anything that's representative of hauntings. They just stink. The only thing that they get right is the time periods where large periods of time will pass without anything happening. Other than that, it's, you know, no offense, Hollywood, but you kind of screwed that up. Go ahead.
They're funny sometimes.
Yeah.
They are. I keep watching them because I keep hoping they'll get better, and every time I'm disappointed. I'm like, oh, come on. I've seen better ghosts than that, and I haven't seen as many. Oh, goodness.
You know,
well,
I try to keep in mind that anything's possible. If I said it was impossible, then I'd be wrong. I try to keep in mind that anything's possible. I mean, if you know what I mean. I try to look at it. Could it happen? Yeah, it's possible. But what's the likelihood of that happening? Probably not. In some cases, probably so.
Right. Well, and then there's all of the normal mundane things that could be happening to cause whatever event is occurring in a home. I mean, granted, I don't at this point have any kind of rational reason for why a knife would fly across the room into a wall, but there are certain things, you know, pipes, leaky pipes or shaking pipes and stuff like that that can cause you to think there's stuff going on. What would you, do you have a checklist of sorts that you maybe go through with people if they give you a call and they say, well, this and this and this is going on, that you can say, well, what about this or that? You know, do you have strange smells or whatever?
Normally we don't deal with that until we get to location and, you know, do like a baseline reading, if you will. If we start hearing stuff, we'll start checking it out and seeing if we can, you know, pinpoint it exactly. Use our K2 meters to see, you know, check for ultra high EMF readings, which, you know, we ran into before. We did a radio station. EMF was just all over, constant, you know, 10 milligauss or better. So, you know, if you're living in a fear cage situation, and yeah, you know, you could definitely be having something that you're thinking. And it's nothing at all except for, you know, really high
and
EMF.
Honestly, I like to check the resident out myself just to see where their head's at when I interview them.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think that's smart. Is there a commonality? Do you find that there's one common thread of either things that happen or voices that are heard throughout the places that you found to be haunted? Is there certain things that seem to occur in most cases?
No, not that I can think of.
Except for Tennessee,
you know, is, you know, site of some of the more large battles during the Civil War. You know, you got more death on lands than just about anywhere else in the United States.
Oh, wow, really? I did not realize that.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Trail of Tears that comes right through the middle of Tennessee. You know, and the Indians were drove out. The Civil War, a lot of battles happened, you know, in the area. You know, especially Middle Tennessee area. You know,
so on the whole, there's been a large amount of death in the area that you are investigating.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot. Go ahead, Nathan.
I said a lot. Me and Sandra have done a tour with the people at the Stones River down here, where the Stones River battle happened, and we found out that actually Stones River was just as bloody as a battle as Gettysburg was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that could make a big difference then in the kind of activity that you find.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's so fascinating to me. Now I know I need to make a trip to Tennessee. Every time I have a new group come on, it costs me money because I have to plan a trip to go there.
Very interesting what you find out when you search the detail of something.
I imagine so. And you said earlier that you get a lot of good hits, that there's a lot of times that you can correlate history with what's occurring at the present time.
Most of the time, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say all the time, but most of the time.
Do you ever run into situations where you just can't find any information on the residence or the location at all?
Yes.
So
one in particular.
At that point, go ahead.
I mean, we got one location. We cannot pin down any information. I mean, we've researched and researched and researched, and all we're going by is word of mouth, because there's nothing really to go by. There's nothing written in the books about this place. And Nathan and Sandra know exactly what place I'm talking about. It's just one of them things, you know, we've researched it, and there's just nothing available.
So how do you move on from there in an investigation when you're, for all intents and purposes, flying blind?
Aggravated.
Yeah. I mean, you just go, you know, you go, like, when we run into, you know, this one situation where there's nothing to go by, you know, as far as research goes, you just go by with what evidence is telling you, you know, what you're getting, you know, what kind of activity you're getting, when you're getting it, you know, and, you know, Sandra and Nathan are going to know Lynchburg's Haunted Home is one of the biggest dead ends ever, but it's one of the best places to ever visit.
It certainly is.
You know, that's where Sandra's boyfriend is at, so, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the place that you can't find any history on.
Right.
Wow.
You know,
that's
there's so much going on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's so much going on, but there's no research information available for the place.
With that,
you know,
some,
I mean,
of the history, but there's just so many different things there and so many different elements. It's hard to pinpoint it all. Like, right when we think we've got it figured out, we find a whole new level.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating. Sandra, I meant to ask you this earlier when I was talking to Nathan about, was he concerned about, I know we joke about him being your boyfriend, but do you have any concerns with that?
We were just talking this past weekend. I know myself, I've completely let my guard down. When I go there, I'm way too comfortable. And we realize that we run a risk of bringing stuff home. Like Nathan says, he calls me a spirit taxi. You know, we've got stuff here in the house that we don't know if it's following me, if I've brought it home from an investigation, if it's always been here, we don't know where it came from. So we're going to have to start doing more things to protect ourselves when we leave.
Yeah, I would really, really recommend that you guys develop some sort of regimen for ensuring that you don't get hitchhikers, because that has happened to not just myself but other investigators that I know very, very well, and for some of them it's been a very bad thing. One of the guys from Extreme Arkansas Paranormal Investigations is still dealing with an issue. The last I talked to him, anyhow, because he got a hitchhiker and he can't get rid of it. So I would definitely, and there's some things that I could tell you after the show if you want to Facebook me or something. I'll give you some easy tips they're not a bunch of mumbo jumbo. It's just stuff that will help, because that's dangerous. I know when we did that Smackover investigation, I know I talk about that a lot, but that was just an amazing investigation for me, anyhow. When I left there, I always take salt, always. I will not go on an investigation without salt or sage. Have to have it. And the last thing I do when I am leaving a place is I'll pour a salt line across the door while I'm inside, across the foot of the door, and step over it and turn around and tell them, you're not allowed to come with me. You have to stay here. And I don't get hitchhikers. And people can laugh. I'm sure if there's people listening, they'll be like, oh, she's full of it. It works. Works for me anyhow. So I would recommend, I call salt my ghost mace. I would recommend taking it with you.
Ghost mace. That's good.
It's my ghost
mace. Our activity at home has picked up since we went to New Orleans a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, so you think it might have come from there. Did you do investigations while you were there?
Well, we really didn't have anywhere that we could get in. We did a dowsing rod session outside of Madame Lowry's home.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And which, I'm not going to lie, that was probably my sole purpose for going to New Orleans. But
for those of you that are listening that don't know who she's talking about, she is considered the voodoo queen of New Orleans. This woman is a big, big deal in voodoo magic. So, and she's passed. So that's who she's talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you're fine. We went by her tomb. We had a great time. I mean, we did a lot. We confirmed some suspicions, but it's not the things we were able to confirm were nothing that we couldn't look up online.
Oh.
So that was just a little disheartening.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing.
But I'm trying to make it where we can take the whole team back and go.
That would be awesome. You guys will definitely, if you do that, make sure you let me know, because we'll have another show all about that. for the next few months, I may have to vicariously ghost hunt through you folks. I know we're not going to get started until probably late June, mid-July, but it's got to be warm enough for me to stand being out all night. I can't. I'm getting too old for all the cold chills.
We've investigated in the 3 below 0 in a house with no power.
Yeah.
We've investigated places when it's 100 degrees outside with no power. So, you know, we're pretty much a year-round team.
That is hardcore, die-hard investigation there when you're willing to put up with those conditions.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of our activity happens during the wintertime, around the holidays. That's when most of our activity picks up, is around those times. You know, between Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's when we get a lot of our investigations lined up for those 3 months. I mean, it's just like, you know, back-to-back, you know, crazy.
Halloween I can understand, just because of the time of year. But Thanksgiving and Christmas, do you have a hypothesis on why that would be?
Relatives visiting.
Oh, well, there's
like
a thought.
Like a residual type thing. You know, the family members were so used to going to one location during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most time a family member. Well, if that family is done past and there's another family living there, they're so used to going to that location, you know, yearly they're going to go back to that location for their, you know, their yearly trip. So a residual type, you know, visitation.
Yeah.
That does have some validity. I think it makes sense. And it has not occurred to me before.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of our calls are, you know, during those 3 months. Halloween, just because of the time of season it is, and then, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas because of, you know, the family gatherings going on, you know, all the combined energy of families being together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the spirits do use our energy, then, you know, what more perfect time to do it when you got all that energy in one location?
Yeah. That sounds reasonable. I think that sounds like a reasonable idea. And it's not one that I thought of before. I wasn't aware Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm so busy during that time of year that I don't really notice much. I'm trying usually to, you know, get 50 million things done. So, and I wonder if there's a lot of that going on and people aren't noticing because they're so busy.
I would say there is, because, I mean, you know, our family, we're busy during that time of year, but, you know, being an investigator, you know, we kind of, you know, think differently than other people. We notice things more than somebody else would.
Yeah.
I mean, does that make any sense at all?
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
So,
because you're more aware of... Go ahead.
Exactly. We're more aware of what's going on around us.
Yeah. See, I've heard many stories about people that have moved into a new residence and they live there, you know, 6-7 months, and then they start noticing things. And I've had people ask me before, you know, why is that? Why does it take so long? And I don't really think it takes long. I think things happen in haunted locations on a fairly regular basis. But if you're busy, you're not going to notice. And when you just move in, I mean, how many people? I've lived here almost a year. I still have boxes I haven't unpacked. So if you're busy and you're unpacking and you've got kids running around, I don't think you would notice things like something getting moved, you know?
Because you're moving stuff around all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We lived in the last house that we lived in that was really haunted. There was at least three spirits there, and I think there might have been more. We lived there for, I don't know, 7-8 months before I really started. I had feelings. I felt like somebody was watching me or this and that, but before things really felt like they picked up, we'd been there quite some time, but the kids were home all the time, and you don't notice. You hear a door open and shut upstairs, you assume it's one of your seven kids, if you have seven kids like I do. You know, you don't expect that until there's nobody there, and then when there's nobody there and you're home alone, you can start picking up on these things. I don't know. What do you think about that? We'll have some expert opinions instead of mine.
I wouldn't say we're experts.
Well, I'd say you're pretty darn good at your job. I've checked out your evidence, and wow. You guys need your own TV show.
No. I'm not about fame and fortune. I've seen what happens when people try for TV shows.
Yeah, that's true.
You get a big head and ego goes out the window. So, yeah, no TV for me.
Oh,
and you get
wow.
Out of paranormal team stalkers.
Yeah.
You get what?
You have other teams who want to follow you around to each investigation that you go on.
Oh,
they
really?
Find out that you've got a... Yeah, we had one team found out we had an investigation booked, and they showed up.
Oh, wow. So, how did you handle that? I mean, did you care, or were you like, hey, this is our house to hunt, get out?
No,
we're professional about it.
Yeah, we never call anybody out about it. You know, we just kind of like, you know, play it by ear. You know, do our thing, let them do their thing.
So do you try, because of that, do you try to keep it pretty hush-hush where you're going and when you're going to be there?
Yes.
Now we do.
Yeah, I was going to say, now we do.
Now that you know it's an issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, I never thought, you know, something like that, would happen. But it's happened, so we just kind of, you know, play it by ear now.
So you guys have groupies.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now I'm going to be wanting autographs from you because, you know. Y'all, Facebook me an autograph. Maybe you can do that in a PDF. Oh, wow. Wow. I would imagine that that's really frustrating if you have an investigation planned out, especially if they don't have the same techniques as you do.
It's inconvenient sometimes, but, you know, you got to be professional about it and just, you know, go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't, there's enough paranormal for everybody. I mean, you can't go to a location, you know, it's open to the public and, you know, expect it to be, you know, all yours for the whole night. You know, if there's another
right.
team there, you gotta play nice.
Right. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. Well, we are sitting at 10:24, so it's been nearly an hour and a half for this show. Is there anything that you guys wanted to tell us about these investigations that we haven't covered yet? Anything strange, unusual?
No.
No.
No, but going,
we got it all
going
in.
Going back to what you were saying, not trying to avoid what you asked earlier or anything like that, I just got to thinking about that, and you were talking about, like, when people move into a residence and it might take them a while to even notice something like that happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, I mean, that could be a simple, you know, that could be one explanation. You know, you let's say, like you said, you have, like, so many kids, and you really just don't start noticing this stuff till you get comfortable in the home. And on the other side, maybe the spirits, just a thought I had just then, maybe the spirits are just not, it takes a minute for them to get comfortable with you in their home.
Well, yeah, I mean, as an opposing side, that would make sense.
I mean, that's
I would
just a
think
thought.
That that's plausible. Go ahead.
And honestly, Willow, I've never thought about that before, but that was just—I mean, that was just the first thought that's run through my head. That's—I find that interesting, and that's something to look into.
I would be curious to see some statistics on people who have reached out for help in hauntings. Or when they first, you know, when they first recognized, hey, something's not normal here, to see how
mm-hmm.
much time they have lived in that residence or even worked in a location. I don't know if there's any place where you could go and compile that information or if anybody has done it, but it would be interesting, I think, to see if there is a general amount of time that passes or if it just varies from instance to instance, you know?
I would say, I mean, just from my personal experience, I would say it probably just varies from instance to instance because, like, when we lived in Laverne, nothing ever happened that I can remember. And then we moved here, and it was actually a year or two before we noticed anything happening. And, you know, I mean, You know, some people say 7 months or whatever. I mean, I guess it just varies on the family and what kind of activity you're having.
But considering what you guys do, it is possible that your house wasn't haunted at all, don't you think? That you could have actually just brought something with you.
Well,
or that maybe somebody,
see, I mean,
something showed up.
Well, see, That's what you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe it's something that followed us, but when the whole neighborhood starts having, you know, same type of thing, and
oh,
I never really
Adam
realized.
Talking.
Yeah.
I'm
we
sorry,
never
I thought I was
it.
Talking to Nathan for a second.
We never really noticed anything until we started, you know, investigating. And when I started investigating,
wow,
I'm
really?
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, I started noticing. As I started getting more comfortable with investigating, I started noticing stuff more at my house. And when you just first start out, you know, you want to learn all you can as quickly as you can. So
yes,
I sat down. My wife went to a craft fair in Bellbuckle, and I pulled out the recorder and I started investigating my own home, middle of the day, and got 5 EVPs within 30 minutes in my own home.
Whoa.
And after I did that, I was like, okay, I'm not doing that again. So I haven't touched another recorder in my home.
Now, before,
you know,
okay, so if you didn't notice anything before you actually started investigating, what would you say your mindset was prior to getting into investigation as far as the paranormal?
Closed-minded, very closed-minded. I didn't want to believe that stuff could exist, but you know, with the advent of all the shows, I started getting more interested in it, and then we did a investigation with some goober I worked with. I mean, he wasn't even worth it.
Don't sugarcoat it, honey. Tell us how you feel.
You don't want me to do that. No, he took us to a battle. He took us to a battlefield, and no permission, you know, to be there. We jumped the fence to get to the, you know, the old battlefield home. You know, it was just you know, and then when we were leaving, we were constantly looking over our shoulders to see if a cop was following us, you know, because it was that bad. And, you know, that's what got me started, and then I wanted to know more about it. Because there were some things I couldn't explain that did happen that night. But, you know, I just wanted to learn more. And then I started, you know, opening up and learning more about it. And then, you know, founded the team. And I'm like, okay, there's something there. Just don't know what yet. So, yeah, it's definitely a learning experience. I'm learning more every day. You know, I'm kind of scaring myself as much as I know.
I think there are particular times where the knowledge can be a bit overwhelming.
Oh, that absolutely. That's where I'm caught right now because I'm constantly thinking about it.
Well, yeah, especially if it's in your own home. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's up close and personal. It's one thing to go to somebody else's house or business, whatever, but when it's right there in your face, you do get used to it, though. I can tell you that you get to the point where it's commonplace and you'll hear something and just laugh. Because it's like, okay.
me and Adam have actually talked about that.
What's that?
What was that, Nathan?
I said, Adam, me and you've actually talked about that too.
Yeah.
you just get used to it.
You do. It becomes just part of your everyday life. And you just go on. It is what it is. I can't say that you won't be startled from time to time, because there are times when things happen and I may jump. I'm not. Or jerk or something. I'm not expecting it, but I do the same thing if one of my kids sneaks up behind me. So, you know, but it gets to the point where it's just normal.
Commonplace.
Unless there's a lot of bad things happening. I mean, obviously, you don't get used to bad things happening, but, well, maybe you do. I didn't get used to that.
No. When me and Nathan go to, say, Lynchburg or Lawrenceburg or Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, I will not walk anywhere alone. I always got somebody with me. Always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always got a flashlight. And if I got to go take cameras down or something and Lynchburg's on home, I will say, come on, Nathan, give me a camera. And we'll walk upstairs, you know, two at a time and get cameras.
Yeah, but that's just smart. That's just smart. Because just like with the living, you don't know what you might encounter with someone that's living, and you don't know what you might encounter with someone that's dead. I tell people all the time, the dead are exactly like they were when they were alive. So if they were a jerk alive, they're going to be a real jerk when they're dead. So using the buddy system, I think, is incredibly important, especially if you're investigating abandoned buildings, because, I mean, the structure itself could be dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm a big chicken, so trust me, when I'm on an investigation and I find myself alone, I am not a happy girl.
I try not to be alone.
No, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think that it's wise. And for Pete's sake, if you're listening and you're interested in investigating, do not go all by yourself. I know of three different people who went all alone. They didn't take anyone with them. That is not safe. Don't do that. That's a good way to get yourself in big trouble, not just with the dead, but also with the living.
Yep.
There's my public service announcement for today.
You know, I think we've all been to locations where, you know, you want to try something, but nobody else wants to try it. So what I do, if I want to try something and I don't want nobody with me, I have a radio. That way I can call for help if I have to.
But how far away do you get from the actual group? I mean, do you get so far they couldn't hear you yell?
Sometimes. Like in Lynchburg's on home, like, you know, somebody might be back in the garage and you might be at the front of the home and you won't hear somebody holler that far. So at least, you know, I want somebody to have, you know, if there's 3 or 40, I want somebody to have a radio so we can get a hold of them, or they can get a hold of us if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know,
Do you carry video cameras around when you're...
We have a wired DVR system, so we try to get cameras where we can see everybody or where they went to at the time. so we can keep track of everybody. But as far as, like, you know, handheld, we got one, and it's not even really worth pulling out sometimes.
How large is your team? How many are there?
Well, in the last 6 months, we've grown, so we've got 15 now.
Oh, my. That's huge.
Pretty good bit.
Yeah, we got a very large team.
Does everyone generally participate when you do an investigation?
We try to.
There's usually about 10.
Do what, Sandra?
There's usually about 10 of us.
Yeah, usually.
That's still quite a few people.
Yeah, when we went to Oldham Theater, we had, what was it, 10 of us plus 4 kids, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Four or five teenagers with us at night.
Teenagers are fun to ghost hunt with.
Yeah.
With the exception of two adults, my entire team is, they're all 18, 19, and 20. And they are so much fun. They are so much fun. And I think that go ahead.
I think when I say teenagers, I'm talking 15, 13, 14, 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the
Are they children of team members then?
My two, yes. And then two of our other team members, they brought their two kids and then a friend of theirs. So, yeah.
And they're totally cool with that? They don't get freaked out?
No, my son and daughter have been around it for the 5 years we've been doing it, and they actually enjoy listening to the audio too. Because when I can't make something out, I hand it to one of them because their hearing's better than mine.
Yeah, my ears are about like a dog.
I get years of loud music.
Me and you both.
That's really neat. So you're raising a whole new generation of paranormal investigators.
Yes.
That's really
like
cool.
Because my son, he's about to turn 16, and he's been on several investigations with us. My daughter, she wants to, but I feel she's still too young to be doing it like that.
I think, go ahead.
Nathan and I, we already know that my son is sensitive to seeing things. And I think as long as we encourage it, he will never turn it off. He'll always be able to carry through with it.
Mm-hmm. I believe you're right.
We don't take him on investigations. I'm terrified that he'll see something he can't unsee, but he likes to listen to the EVPs.
I feel like I like taking young people with me. Now, I have never taken anyone that young. My kids won't go. They've had enough of it just living in haunted houses, so they really don't care to experience that. But my nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews go. And I feel like that energy from the younger people really help get things worked up. Not in a bad way, but it seems like if I go on an investigation and it's just me and a couple of my friends and, you know, we're all folks, we won't get near as much as if we take somebody with us that is, you know, 18, 19. I can take my niece with me, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where we go. There's stuff happening. It's amazing. So I think it really helps in the investigation process.
Yeah, so when we take my daughter, she's 13, and she's just a bundle of hormones. And, you know, she's going through the puberty thing and all that, and we get constant activity when she's around. She wants to go all the time, but I just don't feel she's old enough to go all the time. So places we've been to a lot, she'll go to. But if it's someplace new, no, I ain't taking her. Just because I know how much activity kicks up when she's around.
Yeah, and you don't know what's there.
Right.
That would be my big concern.
I don't want to stir up something.
With her being so young, you don't want anything latching onto her.
Yeah.
For sure. Wow. Well, This has been an absolutely amazing show. Thank you guys for coming on and talking to us. I love having you on the show, and I definitely want you to come back. For those of you that are listening, please go check out their fan page on Facebook. It's Dark Specter Paranormal. And check out all the cool stuff they have, because they have a lot of stuff. And next month, this will be our last Friday night show. Next month, we will start doing the shows on the second and fourth Monday night during the week. They will start at 9 o'clock. They will probably only be an hour instead of 2 hours. But we've got some great guests lined up. And, of course, we'll have our regulars back from time to time. But tune in next month. Next show is, and we have some new shows coming up. We're going to do a really cool show. This has nothing to do with the paranormal. For you ladies, you single ladies, we're going to do a special show on May 8th at 9 p.m. About what men want in a woman, with three single guys who are going to come on and give us the dirt and tell us exactly what men are wanting right now. So if you're single and you're dating, tune in. You can hear it from the horse's mouth what these guys want in a potential partner. Thank you again for coming on. I'm so glad that you guys agreed to visit with us again. And
anytime.
It was awesome. Awesome. I just love hearing your stories. And from all of us at the World of Ink Network and the Paranormal Hour, I am Willow Cross, and have a wonderful weekend. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.